Say good morning to Mike Beano, the editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. I can't believe it's been 2 months since we talked. Seems like yesterday.
Hey, Don. It's always great to be back. Thanks for allowing me on and chatting from the far northern outpost of Manitowish Waters, Wisconsin. It finally just warmed up here. It's been chilly, a chilly, cold spring.
Yeah.
But the lakes are warming up, and it's greening up, and it's summer.
So you're protecting the borders up in Manitowish Waters, protecting our state up there. That's good. The outpost.
Yes. Not far from Lake Superior. I'm running the Navy.
Now, before we even get to anything inside Our Wisconsin Magazine this month, we got to talk about this cover. Is this a photograph or drawing? It looks so perfect. I can't believe it would be a photograph.
Well, yeah, thanks so much. People like this cover. They've responded well, and I was a little unsure of putting it on the cover. We go with bright color on the best paper we can find, slick, and we do that on purpose to put a little bit of quality in there. The cover you're describing is fireworks. Now, fireworks happen at night, okay? That tends to be a little bit dark. But, you know, what we're showing is fireworks along the shore of Miller's Bay in Menominee Park in Oshkosh, 4th of July fireworks, of course, you know, all over the state. And we've got some fireworks there. No, this is not drawn. It's not manipulated, really. It's just a shot by Jim Kepnick, who is a very practiced photographer in Oshkosh. For the longest time, he ran the photo section of the EAA, the aircraft concern down in Oshkosh. But we've got fireworks along Lake Winnebago, and you've got people, you know, happy picnic sort of look scene, watching the fireworks go off, and it, truth be told, it's got a little bit of clutter in the foreground with people on their chairs watching, rapt, watching this show, and everybody who saw this cover says that's what people in Wisconsin do in summer. It's summer to me. There's red, white, and blue colors on there, and it's a celebration. So thanks for noticing that. It's a little out of our orbit, but it works.
Well, if people want to see it, our website guy, Dakota Lovato, Dakota put this actually in our Facebook promotion for you being here today. He actually made a cell phone, and he put this on the cover of the cell phone. And I looked at it and said, that's the cover of the magazine. How do they do that?
Thank you. That's creative, Dakota. Thank you.
Yeah, Dakota did a very good job on that. You know, I got to tell you, we had celebrations where in the town I grew up in. But when I first moved to Brown Deer, Wisconsin, I had never seen a 4th of July celebration. It was an all-day thing with a fireman's contest. They had hoses. They had to get this barrel from one end of the rope to the other. It was a really fun day, and then the fireworks kicked off at night. And when my parents first came to visit, they're diehard New Yorkers, they never went to a 4th of July celebration before. I mean, we saw fireworks and stuff where I grew up, but never an all-day celebration. They just loved it. And now when you come here, when I move to Racine, I'm on the parade route for the 4th of July parade, the big 4th Fest parade, one of the biggest in the country. It runs like 3 hours. And so I'm on the parade route for that. And then at night, you've got the lakefront at Festival Park where they light off, not Festival Park, but the beach area, North Beach area, where they light off the fireworks. This is like small town 4th of July, and I didn't grow up like this. I grew up with, you know, in a big city where they didn't really have a lot of that stuff. So I love this cover.
Well, thank you. That 4th of July, especially in the small towns, it's kind of neat to, you know, you just talked about the bigger metropolitan areas. Some of these small towns, just nine miles down the road from us here is Boulder Junction. It's a summer tourist type town. It's in the middle of the lakes and woods. And they'll, at noon, they crank up the firemen, the parade, and they've got the lit up fire trucks, and several other towns, some that don't have their parade, send the fire wagons here. Presque Isle is one that sends their lit up emergency vehicles, and all the churches and the local hardware store and stuff, they will make floats, and down the street they go. If it's a short parade and there's not that many people marching and walking along, they'll run it around the block and do it twice. That's small towns. The other cool thing about 4th of July in the evening when there's fireworks, if you happen to be traveling across the state, driving down highways, whatever your destination may be, it's interesting to pass these towns off in the distance. You don't know quite where they are, but they're sending up fireworks all the way down. Let's say you're going north to south in the state down Highway 51, 41. Little towns sending up fireworks, and it's kind of, it feels good.
It must be very weird to fly in a plane the night of the 4th of July, and as you're traveling across America, all these fireworks going off. You can see them from the planes. I mean, the planes aren't that high. Yeah. Now, there's a movie called Born on the 4th of July with Tom Cruise. I don't know if you ever heard of it before. He was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Actor for that film, Born on the 4th of July. And the opening scene is a 4th of July parade. And on the screen, it says Massapequa, 1957. Well, that's my town where I grew up, Massapequa. That, it wasn't filmed there. But that's the thing we had growing up. We had a 4th of July parade. And the Little League, baseball league, was the last thing in the parade. Then they put the teams in order of what they, in order of how they were doing. And my team, the Arrows, was in last place, so we were the last team in the parade. Then they took from smallest to tallest, and I was the tallest, so I was the last person in the 4th of July parade. And by the time I got there, everybody, and my mother made me wear dress slacks and dress shoes and a dress shirt. All the other kids were wearing their blue jeans and their sneakers. My mother made me get all dressed up. They probably thought I was some kind of like, all right, he's some official in the parade. He can't be one of the kids. He's all dressed up. Anyway, let's get to some of the stories in here. One of the stories you wanted to talk about was the woman with the bear. the wildlife. Talk about that.
Well, yes, what we have, I love stories like this, and it's the reason, really the main reason I edit a magazine. Even farther north Wisconsin, around the village of Hurley, is the scene where this story takes place. Small town, town just a little bit to the west of there, is Montreal. A small string of towns which was set up for the mining, the iron mining, communities for the workers to live. The last iron mine up here closed in 1961. But there's some tidy little bungalows stretching a little bit west of town, heading off toward the trees. And a fellow by the name of Jeff Wilson lives up here in Mercer. He's a career, now retired, Wisconsin DNR wildlife technician, and he handled quote-unquote nuisance wildlife complaints, okay? Usually that has to do with food. You've got some bird feeders, some garbage, something that's an attractant to different wild animals, and the people need to be, they want the animals to be gone, but they really need to be educated a little bit about what to do and what not to do with food attractants around their house. Jeff got a call from the game warden up there, Harold Schmoody, who said he got a call from a woman, and a bear was in her house. So he said, what? Now, Jeff has trapped and relocated some 300 bears across his career, 30 years. He's used to this kind of stuff, but actually in the house? So he went there and he met a lady named Marge, and she came to the door and introduced him to her cats, and she told the story. Her back door was hanging by one hinge. And the story was, she set out some food for her cats. It was a summer evening, The screen windows are open, back screen doors open. It's the evening. And she had her dinner, and she's feeding her cats. Cracked the door a little bit so the cats could come and go as they pleased around her house in the little northern neighborhood. And she's done with her own dinner. She's fed the cats. She goes to the living room, sits down, turns on TV. Watch her favorite detective crime drama. It's from the 1980s.
Yeah, Hunter. Yeah, Hunter,
with Fred
yeah.
Dreyer.
Yeah.
Okay. She's watching TV and hits a commercial break, and she gets the feeling there's a presence in the room. She turns around and hears this really big bear sitting back on his haunches behind her, staring at the TV, watching Hunter along with her. So she screams, the bear leaps up, flies out the door, and tears it off, and she calls the DNR. So Jeff looked around, and he said, well, this is just a little too strange. This bear is a little too tame, and we don't want anyone hurt, so he set a trap. Next day, Marge calls him up all excited. The hunter bear is in the trap. So he came out, and he picked it up, and he relocated this bear. He rehomed him. But he said in his entire career, he never had another bear actually enter a house when somebody was there. But, you know, then again, all those other bears he handled probably never had the opportunity to watch Hunter.
I love the drawing that goes with the article, because it shows her and the bear both relaxing in chairs watching the TV. That's a great drawing. Whoever did that.
That's a piece by Joe Heller. He's a pretty well-known political cartoonist in newspapers. Works for, I don't know, hundreds of them. But every once in a while, he does a little comic drawing for us, a little cartoon in color. It's quite a break from his usual stuff that he does, artwork. And he gets a kick out of doing these fun stories, and we love working with him.
I told you before we went on the air, my dad and my mother went on a land sea tour of Alaska. And while they were on the land part of it, it was kind of a desolate area. And there was a shack there, you know, so they kept supplies if everybody needed something. And the group leader of the tour said, stay close to me. Do not wander off. There are bears around here. Stay with me. I'll handle it if you see any. So, of course, my father, not willing to listen to anybody, wandered off. And there, coming around the corner, and I have a photo of it, was a giant bear headed right to my father, and he leaned down and took a picture head on with the bear, and the tour guide grabbed my father by the collar and yanked him. He said, "Stay with me." And the bear didn't do anything, but I have a great photograph of that bear rounding the corner, and my father took it. And you got to be careful out there. Okay, we got a whole bunch of stories coming up here, and I want to save this one as soon as we get back from the break. Stone Warriors. Now, these are the people that preserve the tombstones in cemeteries, because my wife and I tour a lot of cemeteries across America, and some of them you can't read anymore. Some are just so dirty and from molds and whatever nature put on them, you can't see them. So these people clean them off. And there's a caveat, and I'll tell you the story real quick here before we take the break. I read the story about, not yours, this woman who goes around cleaning, and she used a very harsh chemical, and she wiped off all the information on tons of these stones that can't be recovered. Whatever she used was way too harsh on it, and they can't put them back the way they were now. So some of them they're so old they don't know what was on there. There's no record of it. So now they're just blank stones sitting on people's graves. So you got to be careful. So talk about that. You've got a couple of stories you want to talk about. We're going to tell how they can subscribe. Well, let's do it now. How can you subscribe to Our Wisconsin Magazine? It comes out once every 2 months, and it's very good hard stock, real shiny hard stock paper. It comes like the old Playboys used to come. Not that I would know, but it comes in a sealed cover, so it's the elements aren't bothering it. When it puts in the mailbox, nothing can hurt it. So how do you get Our Wisconsin Magazine?
Before I give you that number, I will tell you it's also like Playboy because there's a big fold-out in the middle.
Yes, it is.
Show a little bit different scenery.
That's right. It is like Playboy with the fold-out, the gateway.
Anyway, if you'd like to get a copy of this, you can call 877-717-8925.
Now, we've been getting it since the very first issue. And there was a man living across the street from us, a veteran. He was in his 90s. And toward the end, he was kind of homebound. So we brought over all our issues to him so he can sit and read them. And he loved them. They even mentioned it in his obituary that we brought over all those magazines to him. And he just loved reading them. And he did pass away. But at least he went out reading our Wisconsin magazine from issue number one. All right, we're talking.
Thank you for doing that.
Oh, yeah. He was a veteran, and he was just a great guy. Before we get to our story about the people who clean cemetery stones, gravestones, let's talk about what you've got, Wisconsin scenes in the middle. And this is where the big gatefold is. This is, wow, what photography about just pictures from all over Wisconsin, summer photos of what goes on around the state. I mean, this is like taking a vacation right in your easy chair while reading the magazine. Those are wonderful photos.
Yeah, thanks. That is the center section of the magazine, as we've been talking about, and it really highlights scenes all around Wisconsin. We work with about 40 different professional photographers, live all around the state, who supply these photos for us. Mostly, this magazine's 82 pages. Most of what we have in here comes from the readers themselves, which is to say not professional writers or photographers. We invite people to chip in a story about what it is about their corner of Wisconsin that makes life really special. And brag up your neighborhood a little bit, you know, puff up your chest with pride. Now, here and there in the magazine, though, we anchor it with a little bit of professional photography. We got about 10 pages worth here from those 40 photographers I talked about. And also the covers you've mentioned several times, the 4th of July cover that we have there. On the back cover, we've got a kid tubing, being towed behind a boat on Lake Mendota. And people tell us that they like this most about our Wisconsin, the brilliant color photography that you're talking about. And that just warms my heart because as an editor, I'm responsible for that ugly gray stuff that we wrap around the pictures in the magazine.
Those words we have to read and
Yeah. So anyway, it is meant to be a visual tour, and thanks for noticing that, Don.
Now on the gatefold, I thought at first glance when I looked at it last night, I thought it was the Mississippi River. It's not.
No, that is Roberts Lake near Wabino, Wisconsin. That's up toward Crandon, and that's one of our photographers. You mentioned Rob Resnick, who lives in Oshkosh. His family has some vacation property up in this area, so a lot of what you see in here from the Woodlands is from him. He travels up there, and what we have here on these three pages is a common sight up north. It's a pontoon boat at sunset where there's a group of about 6-7 people having a nice evening, maybe a little cocktail cruise around the lake slowly as the sun's going down. So that's Roberts Lake. It's in the middle of some national forest up there, Wabino near Crandon, Lake Lucerne. Beautiful evening up north.
Let's get to the article we were talking about. These are the people in the article who clean gravestones, because if you go to a cemetery, sometimes it's hard to read. They're all black with some kind of, you know, nature put some kind of cover over it. And it's really tough to read. But these people actually clean it with special chemicals, because I told you before the break that we had a story on the air once. A lady cleaned the chemicals. They were too harsh. She actually wiped out all the writing on these old, mainly the sandstone ones that are, you know, the older cemetery stones. But these people take great care in what they do. Why don't you talk about them?
Sure. This is Heidi Marie and Leo Berna. They are They're from Hazelhurst, which is a little bit south of Minocqua, and they are volunteer stone warriors, and they've taken it upon themselves to voluntarily go and clean gravestones that maybe are covered with algae, that, you know, the black algae, maybe lichens. Some of them that are flush with the ground sometimes have sod grown right over them. And they're willing to travel up to 100 miles voluntarily if someone needs their volunteer assistance. And Leo is a Vietnam veteran, wears his cap, and they go out with their dog, their Achilles, their big German Shepherd for companionship, and they clean these stones very, you know, fastidiously. Now, you're right. No power washers, no wire brushes, metal scrapers, abrasive scrubbing pads, none of that can be used because they can scar stone. Harsh chemicals like bleach can leave some damage. So they pull on their gloves and they use soft brushes, plastic scrapers, cotton swabs, toothbrushes, and they have little hand pumps for applying some very light solution, nothing harsh, and rinsing with water. Non-toxic stuff is what they're using. So they're scrubbing the stones by hand, and sometimes there's blackened surfaces, but slowly, as they work, the names and dates come forward and are once again revealed. Yeah, and you mentioned sandstone. You know, on granite, maybe it's a little bit more forgiving, but not all stone is created equal, and you have to touch. You have to go with a very light touch. One other thing you know, they pay special attention to some of these veterans' graves. The oldest one they've worked on was one from 1889, and the tradition with some of these veterans is to leave a coin on the gravestone. He leaves a penny. The tradition is there's different levels of connection, denominations. A penny means you visited the gravesite. This is for the family to see. A nickel signifies you and the deceased trained together. A dime means you and the veteran served together. And a quarter shows you were there when the veteran died. So that's a little tradition. And they're hard at work. They do hundreds of stones every year.
Well, I told you, my wife and I, when we go on road trips, we visit cemeteries. Now, my wife does all the research on them. I'm not going to go into all the stories because I could fill up an hour with the stories of some of these gravestones. But we've gone through the ones here in Wisconsin. We visited Robert Stroud's grave. Robert Stroud is buried in Metropolis, Illinois, in a really not well-kept cemetery. Do you know who Robert Stroud is? Name sound familiar at all to you?
Infamous. A criminal?
He's the Birdman of Alcatraz. He's buried in Metropolis, Illinois. Yeah.
Well, he was a criminal, but
yes, he was a murderer.
Came up with a hobby.
Yeah, he was a murderer. Birdman of Alcatraz. And he set records He studied birds and their diseases, never got out of grammar school, but he became the world's foremost authority on bird diseases and cures. We went to Al Capone's. He's in Mount Carmel Cemetery in right outside Chicago. And went to a whole bunch. Charles Starkweather, who was the subject of three movies, one starring Brad Pitt, California with a K it's spelled. He was the subject of that. One with Martin Sheen and Sissy Spacek, Badlands. And one with Woody Harrelson and Juliette Lewis. I forget what the name of the movie was. So you visit these graves, and you find a lot there. Now, I sent you a photograph. This is in Union Grove, not the Union Grove Veteran Cemetery. This is the, you know, cemetery for just the regular folks like us. And in there, this is my future home, by the way. In there, we took a picture of the tombstone of Frank Lamping. Frank Lamping in Union Grove was a local historian. People love to hear his stories about history in Union Grove. He was also inducted into the Green Bay Packer Fan Hall of Fame at Lambeau Field. They actually have a Fan Hall of Fame, and he's in there. And on his gravestone is his wife is still alive, I believe. Let me see here. Yeah, his wife is still alive. But they put a picture of he and his wife. In the background is Lambeau Field. He's a big Packer fan. And they also have a Green Bay Packer helmet hanging in front of his tombstone. Well, just to the right of him, not to be undone, is a Minnesota Vikings fan.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right next to him. You can see the big sign there they put next to his tombstone. Minnesota Vikings. And he's got all the Vikings stuff all over his gravestone. So
there could be a law against that.
Side by side in eternity, a Green Bay Packer fan and a Minnesota Vikings fan, they will spend eternity together in their graves.
And what state is this in?
This is Union Grove, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, we got it. Okay, well, we've got an invasion from Minnesota, but oh well, all in good fun.
Now, I am going to be buried in back of them. I'm thinking maybe a New York Jets. But yeah, so that's it. That's in Union Grove. That's going to be our family gravesite. But anyway, we're talking with Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, their latest issue out for the summer. And it is a wonderful issue. Photography, the stories, everything is wonderful. Even we were talking during the break, even the ads, because they could lead you to places. When you see these places, like I told you, we ate at Little Fat Gretchen's. You got the ad in there for that in Waupaca. And you never know what you're going to find just by reading the ads alone. So it's great. It's a great magazine. You want to talk about your, I just had my article. Let's talk about yours now. His deep dive into a better world. I've never seen so many lures in my life by one person in this photograph.
We're talking about a real character here. A gentleman, Ed the Diver. He's from Marinette. He's got a place in Marinette and also one in Green Bay. So he's on a crusade. He's a scuba diver. He's on a crusade to clean up Wisconsin's lakes and rivers. And there's, you know, there's some 3,200 small lakes around Wisconsin, 15,000 miles of rivers. He's got a big job ahead of him. But Ed came to the conclusion that, and it's correct, people love the water, and things that people have naturally flow into the water, okay? He's down there with his oxygen tank and his mask, and he makes little videos of these that he posts online. He's down there cleaning up things like he hauls a kayak with him up on the surface. Okay, glass bottles from long-forgotten breweries, wooden planks from docks, there's cell phones, there's fishing tackle, there's fishing tackle boxes, there's coolers, there's lures, there's wrenches, there's golf clubs, there's toilets, there's firearms, wallets, watches, dolls, miles of fishing line. People even lose their clothes in the water. And I'll leave it at that. But
he finds
on this crusade to pick this stuff up.
He finds Apple watches in the water too.
He does that, you know, and he'll find people will hire him to come to the marina and find their cell phone or find Apple watches, and he charges a fee when he travels to do that. This cleanup is volunteer, but if he finds a watch or if he finds a cell phone, he'll fire it up. If he can get it started, he will attempt to get it back to the owner, simply not for anything other than the good feelings of returning things to people. What's attractive here is you see these pictures in color of all these snorkels and all these watches and all these things he's found in the water in a big blob of fishing lures. Now, any fisherman will tell you that Rapalas and musky plugs, these things are pricey. It's nothing to pay $25 for a musky lure. And you hook it up and you lose it, you know, underwater. That's where this all started. Ed and his kids were fishing along the Menominee River up near Marinette. And what he said was it was spring walleye fishing, shoulder-to-shoulder combat fishing. You know, when the run is on, people are, you know, it's like in Fremont, they're fishing hard. And he says, pretty soon I'm hooking up my lures and losing them. The kids are all losing lures. We're tying more on. The kids keep losing lures. These things are pretty expensive, and my tackle box getting empty. So he went with his waders and a golf ball finder, and he started picking lures, okay, and retrieving them. Now, you watch some of these videos online, the man looks like somebody berry picking. He's down there finding these lures, picking them off of rocks, off of logs. He's freeing little animals that may be tangled up in line. He and his friend went down there and found 16,000 lures in 1 year. He told me recently, okay, he was on the Fox River in De Pere. They break off anchors there. In 2 hours, he hauled up 27 boat anchors, and he cleans his stuff up and sells it, but it's not really a living. He's got sponsors. The guy from Nicolet Law on the billboards all over the state is his largest sponsor, but he also has Meatsky's Quality Meats in Pound, which is near his childhood home in Lena. So the meat market sponsors him. And Ed is out there doing something for humanity. They recently called him up to Minocqua to come and clean outside the bridge. He on Highway 51, he found two cash drawers. We were talking about criminal activity before. It's astonishing what's down there. But the best story is for all these efforts, he made a bigger catch. At the foot of the Shawano Dam, he found a Barbie doll. Okay, so he cleaned up Barbie and he auctioned her online, and people started bidding. And he got a bid for $1,225. A lady named Christy Barlament of Green Bay won Barbie for that bid. And so he cleaned up Barbie, put her in a little mermaid with a mermaid plaque and tackle box, and delivered Barbie to Christy, and then they decided to go out to dinner. Well, they're engaged to be married now.
And Christy, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, Christy is his business. She's working with him on the diving detail. Fun stuff, Ed the Diver, but characters and people, really, the people of Wisconsin, is what this magazine is all about.
He's got like 30 smartwatches found. What are these people taking their smartwatches off and throwing them in the water? I mean, how does somebody get lost? I mean, how do they get off your wrist?
The stuff slides off. I've heard from people. We had a story about one person who finds stuff underwater, more around beaches, and they said the thing to do is take your get yourself a metal detector, and then go in the beach about roughly knee-deep or slightly deeper where a woman might stand watching her children. Rings tend to slide off when your hands get cold. That's a way to find some gold in the sand at the beach. Sometimes these rings do get returned to their owners, and we've had stories on that too.
It is a wonderful magazine. We didn't get to just touch the surface of all the stories in there. It's Our Wisconsin Magazine. We're going to podcast this interview in case you missed it. We'll podcast it probably tonight or tomorrow morning. It'll be up. And again, how do people get Our Wisconsin Magazine? Can they do it online, by the way? Can they look it up online?
Certainly, you can look it up online. Our website is OurWisconsinMag.com. OurWisconsinMag.com, or you can call the office here and we can get a magazine to you just with a credit card number. That's 715-543-2311.
All right. This is a great magazine. I just sit there in bed at night and watch, look at the pictures and read some of the articles, but I love the photographs. I mean, top photography. And again, in case you're not familiar with the magazine, it's a high gloss, high slick magazine. It doesn't feel like a regular magazine. It's really, I've never seen, the cover is so thick. What kind of heavy paper stock is that?
Thanks so much. Yeah, it's a rare breed. The ink on paper magazines are getting a little more rare, but ink on paper magazines that are using very nice paper like that, there aren't that many. So, and that's kind of stands us apart. We do it on purpose.
All right. Thank you, Mike Bino, our editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. Talk to you in 2 months.
Great to be with you, Don. We'll look forward to it.
Okay. So long now.